For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Valdez is in at second, by the way. The pitch is a line hopper towards short into the outfield, a base hit. Seydon is going to come up throwing. They send the runner, and the tag is not in time. Head first slide, and the Yankees win it 2-1.
Just when you want to trust them. Just when you want to buy in.
I was back in for a day, then I was out. Then I was back in, though, but then I was out.
I don't mind riding the wave. It's better than just being completely out, I guess.
True.
But just when you thought you could trust them, last night, some curious decisions, to say the least, from the manager. Red Sox lose 2-1 in extra innings. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Patriots Friday. Little after noontime, I will talk to Alex Van Pelt, Patriots offensive coordinator, coming your way later on this hour. Dietrich Wise as well. So we'll get back into Patriots and Seahawks, but Red Sox maybe running out of their nine lives this season. And for more on that, we're joined by Lou Merlone. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, where you can win free groceries in their Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Lou, how are we doing this week?
Well, I'm doing okay. Like you said, last night's game, it was there for them. They can't swing it, strike out too much. It's been a problem all year. And now you got to win at least two of these, but you probably got to win all three.
Yeah, what are the chances that they can have the series with Minnesota at the end of the month mean something and have it be on the line?
Yeah, you know, you look around and there's some tough games. I think Minnesota has Cleveland, KC plays Detroit, so this is the weekend to survive and see how those teams do during the week when you are in Tampa. They're just living like every day. It's like one day at a time. They win, you're like, eh. They lose, you're like, that's it. You know, it's like that. Like you talked about that roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of some of Cora's decision making last night? Choices to pinch hit, choices not to pinch hit, going to Jansen in a tie game. How do you feel he managed the game last night? I know you said they're not swinging. It's hard when you're not scoring any runs. But what did you think of his night?
I thought the one thing that was interesting, curious though, was the Jansen one. You know, where they were in the order. You know, because I'm like, even if he gets 1, 2, 3, someone's got to face Judge and Soto. You know, in the ninth, but. You know, Rep Schneider wasn't out there, so you letting Willier hit. You know, he ended up getting a hit off Cortez. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. Like Massa, you want him to kind of get a swing on it too. So I didn't have a problem. I think it was a little bit limited with Ref, but still, it's just, again, too many swings and misses, and that's something that they need to address with the roster in the offseason.
I know there's still 15 games or whatever it is to play, but do you look at this as a successful season?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I don't know, raise your hand if you thought they were going to make the playoffs. You know?
No, so certainly did not.
Right, so they're just outside the playoffs. So I remember even like last year, the year before, you didn't have a good year, and it was like it'd be different if there was like young kids, and I felt like there was a direction where it was headed. So this year, you are what you are. You're probably going to be slightly on the outside looking in, but, you know, you've had some growth. I think you had to build a nice foundation with your three starters in Bayo, Crawford, and Houck. You know, they're going to be in that 180 pitch range. So next year, there is no concern about being an uncharted waters. You know, there's some young arms out in the bullpen that I think you gain some experience but need to be better. And of course, you know, you got a little core here, whether Rafael or Duran or Abreu, you know, you see what you have. Who knows what's going to happen in the offseason? I was reading Rosenthal with the Casas stuff. I don't know. But and you got your kids in AAA. So I think overall it was a good year. It's always disappointing we don't make the playoffs, but nobody had them in the playoffs.
Lou Maloney, Red Sox insider, joining us here on Jones and Keefe, as he does every Friday at noon. On Casas,
yeah.
What should they do?
Well, the problem is if the way he's finishing up, you know, it's like diminished returns, right? It's not exactly selling high. But, you know, the Rosenthal thing, it's like I think you dangle him, you know, just like I think you dangle a lot of these guys, and you, including all your prospects in AAA, you know, including your outfield. And you have to get a horse. You have to get a starter to put on top of these guys. And is that value too low for a guy like Casas now, or is his, you know, the history of him, I think, you know, would allow you to make a big trade. And the Rosenthal thing, talking about, you know, Devers going to first base and bringing a right-handed bat for third, I mean, I don't mind that idea at all. It's just that you keep going back to what he was in the second half of the year, and you're like, man, I mean, you're too left-handed. You want to give up on that. But I think you dangle him. I think you dangle everybody.
One of the righties that has had a successful year is Tyler O'Neill, his 30th home run the other night. Are you bringing him back, or is there no room for him?
I think it depends on what you do with Yepmasa. You know, if you want to move him, if you're able to move him, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, you could trade two lefties and then turn around and be like, hold on, we might need a left-handed bat in this lineup. We might have just turned in two right-handed, right? But if that's not the case and you move Masa, then I think, you know, the finish with O'Neill, I think you'd consider it maybe with a DH, right-handed bat. I think there's going to be a lot of stuff in the air this offseason with trades. I expect it to be a heavy trade offseason, and depending on where that path goes, he could still find himself here DHing.
When you say heavy trade offseason, you mean with the Red Sox specifically or league-wide?
Yeah, with the Red Sox.
Okay, so when you look at Breslow, I had no problem with trading Sale, so I don't want to go back and relitigate that trade because I didn't have a problem with it, but looking at the return, it's pretty clear they didn't get enough. How much do we trust Breslow making these moves?
Well, that's one of those things we have to wait and find out. Like, it's like, do you trust Heim Bloom at the deadline? I don't know. Year two, I wasn't sure. By year four, I didn't, you know? So, we'll see. I mean, like you mentioned, the first trade he had. I'm one of those guys that I don't really care who you trade away as long as I get something in return I'm happy with. You know, so if Grissom ended up hitting 285 with 17, 18 bombs and looked like your second base for the next 5 or 6 years, I'd say good for Chris Sale, but you got to answer at second. You can't say that right now, you know, and I don't know if you will be able to. So that's a problem. But, yeah, that's one of those. This is a big one. I mean, this is make or break because I think that they were going to trade away a lot of pieces, including, you know, one of those minor leaguers, just my opinion, a couple guys off this roster and try to bring in an arm, try to bring in a heavy right-handed bat. And that's going to be some big, bold moves that's going to, you know, not make or break, but it's going to really determine how we feel about them.
You mentioned the minor leaguers. Is there one you would start with? Is there one you look at and feel like is the logical guy in Worcester to move?
Well, again, you go to diminished returns. You know, I mean, Marcelo Meyer's got to stay in the field, you know, and if we see that in Boston, the league, you don't get anything by the league, and they're sitting there looking at him saying, he hasn't finished a year yet, you know, and so that kind of hurts his value. None of them are untouchable. There's nobody untouchable, in my opinion, because it's like we saw this year. You drafted a kid in the first round again, Montgomery. He's now a top five prospect, you know, international signings. It's like these kids, you get to draft every single year. So if you take a shot on trading one of them or two of them to improve your big league team, again, it's about who you get back in return. I'm all for anything.
What do you think the outlook is for Trevor Story? I know he's back. He's played in 5 games.
Yeah.
You know, is he your starting shortstop next season? Would he be willing to play second base? I know he was good at it, but he also had the idea and maybe he was told, hey, we're getting rid of Bogaerts, you're going to slide back over there. So what's the future in your mind of Trevor Story?
Well, first off, you have to have a shortstop better than him to move him to second, and you don't anywhere. So to me, his value is at shortstop. And I don't think he's going anywhere for a few years. So he's your shortstop. And I get it. Like, you know, you can watch him every night now and be like, man, he just can't hit. And you sort of have to really at least acknowledge that last year he missed 5 years and this year in 5 months and this year he missed like 4 of them, you know, or maybe 5 of them. And it's like I never expected him to hit at all. And I didn't even expect him to come back and say only if they need defense at short, which they do because they can move Rafael around now. So I don't expect him to hit. Just like I'm looking at Costas right now, and I'm not surprised. Like, you can't miss 4 or 5 months and come back and expect to hit. So hopefully he can have, you know, a healthy offseason, a healthy season next year. We actually get to see what he looks like, but you don't have a better defender at shortstop than him.
You know, and you mentioned Rafaela in there, and what has been so impressive about his rookie year is he's playing two of the more difficult spots to play, and he's been playing them pretty well, and he's also hitting pretty well. You know, he's a 15 home run, 17 steal guy. You know, the OPS isn't going to blow you away, but he's driven in a ton of runs this year. Is he going to get a position next year, or they're just going to keep saying, well, the guy's got great flexibility so we can move him all around?
Yeah, I think he goes into camp with a position. Which one that is, I don't know, because you know, one, health of Story, right? Yeah. Or and you've got some of these prospects. Do you open up spots? I think they'd love to have him in center field. You know what I mean? But is Rafaela Duran Abreu or outfield next year? It could be. You know, if you have a big right-handed DH and you move Massa and you have a and you move another lefty, maybe that is Costas, and you bring another righty to it, that might be good because your defense would be fantastic. I think he's shown a lot of positives and, like, potential. But there's just too much swing and miss. And when we saw for a month or two him get better at it, it was never great, but it got better at it. And if he makes more contact, I'd love to see what those numbers can be. But that's something he needs to work on.
You mentioned the Red Sox needing right-handed hitting. This guy does not fit the description, but he's been awesome this year in New York. He walked it off last night, Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. He's still a month away from turning 26. You mentioned a lot about the Red Sox making trades this offseason to remake their team. Is he the kind of guy they would make an exception for and make a big splash? He's so young. He's so productive. He's done so much in his career. Could you see them making a play for a free agent like him, or is it more the trade market?
I still think it's more of a trade market. Now, listen, I you know, you got a left-handed problem, but it doesn't matter with Soto. Like, who cares? Like, you put him in there, it doesn't matter. He's going to hit lefties, he's going to hit righties, it doesn't matter. But I don't know. It's one of those things where you got to give him, what, $45 million, you know, to go out there and probably play left field. Money probably shouldn't be a problem, but I think that maybe they'll tell you that a 10-year, $450 million deal is not comfortable, even though he is 25. It's amazing he's 25. Like, he's a guy you, yeah, I wouldn't cry if you brought him in. Trust me. I mean, I love it, but I don't see that happening. I can see them making a trade for a starter, hopefully in Seattle, or a kid like Crochet out in Chicago, and then maybe signing a bat or whatever it is and improve that bullpen. Like, I think that's kind of where you're looking at, and you can spend a lot of money doing all three of those things.
So Roman Anthony this week became the top prospect in all of baseball. Baseball America updated their prospects. The kid in Tampa no longer eligible. So he's the number one prospect, which, again, you look back at the history of this, there are some, you know, surefire Hall of Famers. Then there are some out-and-out busts in there. Is there now more pressure on Roman Anthony than even Marcelo Mayer, who I think was viewed by many Red Sox fans as like the top prospect and the next guy? And you mentioned all the injuries and stuff that he's had. Feels like Roman Anthony blew past him in the high speed lane. And now once you get that label of top prospect in all of baseball, I think the expectations now for this guy are insanely high.
Yeah, and you saw that with Jackson Holliday. Like, he opened up at Fenway, and it was like MLB Network was there. Like, you know, like everybody came out of the woodwork, and it hasn't really gone well for him at all. So, yeah, there's a lot of added pressure to it. You know, and I think it's funny because you talk a lot of people I've talked to, actually, that have watched the Red Sox minor league system, and they say Campbell's the best player they got. But, you know, Roman, obviously at 20 years old, is doing things that just are off the charts. And a lot of that is kind of like the metric numbers and all these other things. And he's a great player. There's no question about it. So being a number one prospect, it's a good thing because it's value more than anything. You know, I'm not saying you race to trade this guy, but, you know, the possibilities are endless.
Okay, he is Lou Merlone. You can check him out here on WEEI. Check him out on Nesson, our Red Sox insider. He joins us every Friday at noon here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Lou, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much,
you
Lou.
Too. Lou Merlone joining us here on Jones and Keefe. How about that? A busy offseason he expects on the trade front. Don't hold your breath on Juan Soto, which I wasn't. I was just curious what he was going to say.
No.
But
a couple of hosses in the rotation, though.
Yeah, busy offseason. He mentioned Crochet by name there, who maybe has lost a little bit in the second half of this year.
Yeah, and also, I don't know. I mean, he could still be a great pitcher, but like that was a weird like series of events right before the trade deadline where he was like, I won't pitch out of the bullpen. I need a new contract, or I won't even throw a pitch at all for you and all this stuff. And like, I don't know, maybe that gets ironed out, but like, I don't know.
Right,
I'd rather go all in on Corbin Burns.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
But the idea that I believe the direct quote from Lou was dangle everyone. Hashtag dangle everyone.
Wow.
Which,
that's aggressive.
Be careful where you do that.
Uh-huh.
But okay. I'm
with him though. Nobody should be untradeable in this team.
I agree with him too. Like, no one should be off limits in the minor leagues. No one should be off limits really on the big league team. Twitch chat was saying this over and over and over again.
What they got?
Maybe it was the same person
happy
over
Friday.
And over again.
Happy Friday.
Love the program. Happy
Thanks,
Friday.
Gina.
You guys are the best. Duran, would you, if we're dangling everyone, would you consider Duran?
I like Duran a lot. But yeah, I mean, like, what's the return? Like, you got to hear what the return is for all these guys. They don't have anybody.
But in a vacuum, he's not off limits.
No, I would say pretty strongly nobody is off limits, but you'd have to be pretty blown away by a trade package that has Jaren Duran in it. I mean, you look this year, and I know WAR is not the be-all, end-all, and it is for baseball writers, but it shouldn't be. But if you look at the top guys in the majors, it's like Judge, Henderson, Witt, Soto, freaking Jaren Duran. Like, he's in that group.
It's a good shorthand for MVP. If not, it's imperfect, but it's a good shorthand for MVP.
So he's one of those guys. Like, he's going to get MVP votes this season. It's also, I think, the years where the Red Sox don't have a go-to leadoff guy, you can really feel it. Like, the years where they do, whether it was Johnny Damon back in the day or Ellsbury, Mookie, when they were trying to figure out whether he should do that or slide down the order. But, like,
Jose Offerman.
When they had, Coco Crisp. I mean, he tried it. Like, that was the idea anyway. But when they have a guy, I feel like it just changes the whole lineup where they can just set one guy at the top. And Duran's been sensational this year.
No, for sure. And so, I'm not shopping him, but if you're telling me I can get a huge return for Duran, I'm listening.
Yeah, who do you got?
I'll listen on anyone. So, interesting. Tristan Casas. Ken Rosenthal.
I'm hopeful that they're this aggressive. Lou was like felt pretty strongly that they're going to be this aggressive.
He didn't sound real adamant about keeping Casas either.
No.
So,
no.
Rosenthal says Red Sox could listen and shop Tristan Casas. Would you do that? Would you move Devers to first? A lot of decisions for the Red Sox this offseason. And basically, let's face it, the offseason's here because their season now is over. That includes the loss last night.
Sox-Yanks tonight right here on WEEI.
Don't
miss
it.
Make sure you tune in.
Make sure you catch that here on Red Sox flagship station, WEEI. We have a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Still scheduled to be joined by Alex Van Pelt, Patriots offensive coordinator, and Dietrich Wise, Patriots captain. They're going to wrap up practice shortly in Foxborough. So we'll look ahead to Patriots and Seahawks. Our predictions, your predictions. Who do you got?
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, I think that's one of our identities as an offense for us when we talk about it being multiple and versatile. Again, I always talk about putting our players in the best plays to make them successful, best situations to make them successful when using their skill sets. You know, I told the guys in the room we might run it 40 times this week and throw it 40 times the next week based on the defense. So I'm very confident in our group. I think our skill group is a talented group. We don't have any huge names outside at receiver, but we got a bunch of guys that make good football plays. So I feel real confident in those guys.
Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt going to make his Jones and Keefe debut here later on this hour. Patriots on the practice field. When they wrap up, we'll get Van Pelt and Patriots captain Dietrich Wise. Order TBD, but they should be joining here shortly on a Patriots Friday on WEEI. And I'm curious to get Van Pelt's thoughts on something Jerod Mayo confirmed today. 30% of the practice reps going to Drake May. Why? Is it more this week?
I'll tell you why.
What are you getting him ready for? Why?
Because he's going to play. He's going to play sooner rather than later.
I agree.
Yes. And I think it's about getting him ready. They didn't feel like, for whatever their reasons were, the small council that chose the starting quarterback felt he wasn't ready for week one. But there's no way they thought, let's wait till 2025. And that's kind of regardless of record. Like, Drake May is going to take over for Jacoby Brissett. Every single first-round pick rookie is going to take over for the starter or the veteran.
Yeah.
Some do it right out of the chute. Three of them started week one. J.J. McCarthy got hurt, so we don't know. But I'm guessing it would have been a similar thing. Either he would have started week one over Darnold, or they would have played it out a month in. Even if they got out to a 4-0 start. You know, we talked a lot about Tua because of what happened to him last night, but Tua's rookie year, Fitzpatrick, I believe, had won back-to-back games, including a big blowout win over a division opponent, and then they went to Tua. And then they kind of yo-yoed it a little bit, and Flores probably let that one get away from him. But I don't think it's necessarily a wins-loss thing. I think it's in their mind, is the O-line good enough? Is Drake May picking up enough stuff in practice where we feel like we can go to him? Because clearly the ceiling is way higher for Drake May.
So the 201 is an example of what you'd be talking about with Drake May, but you do acknowledge that's the exception to the rule. Like, that's not, that doesn't happen often. When you're winning and you put this rookie in. Like, that doesn't happen a ton.
Yeah, but I'm
usually
to think,
you're losing or you're a bad team or you need to make a change because your quarterback's playing so poorly. Like, the Dolphins are a weird example of that.
But there's also not a lot of teams just in general that played the veteran journeyman quarterback and were good. Like, how many examples are there of that? Like,
true.
Usually the team that drafts the high
very
pick quarterback
limited, yeah.
were bad the year before. That's why they have the pick so high. And then they either feel comfortable to start him right away or they don't. You know, what was one of them? Was it Jake Locker? We pulled it. We're looking for examples of every single thing possible.
Yep.
But even they were, like, decent, so maybe they're an example where they kind of won some games. But, you know, Herbert and Allen are the ones that we always go back to. They, for whatever reason, weren't deemed ready to start week one, but they started week two and never looked back. So Drake May doesn't look like it's going to be week two, but I'm still not ruling out a week five, never look back scenario.
No, I think that's fair, and the Dolphins are a good example of that. So we'll ask Alex Van Pelt about this. I now feel differently after hearing Mayo give some detail on those 30% reports. Phil Perry said he was practicing more than your average backup. Evan Washburn, sideline reporter on CBS, gave us the 30%. Mayo today said he's getting reps with starters, not just the show team, not just the practice squad, the scout team, rather, but actual reps with the starters, which, like, you're doing that to get him in. And it's the first time I feel that if they're 2-3, 3-2,
yeah.
they're winning, they're competitive, Brissett's playing okay, it's independent of that. They have a plan for May for when they're going to get him in.
Also, you know, of the many differences between Belichick and Mayo, this is one. Belichick would never confirm an Evan Washburn report.
Hell no.
Like, not even close.
No chance.
Now, Evan Washburn probably doesn't even have that report. You know, maybe Phil is a good local reporter. Maybe he gets word about it and puts it out there. But if Bill was ever asked about it, he would have shot it down, or he would have pivoted, or he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you about our practices or
that
whatever.
That wouldn't slip in a production meeting, or if it did, you'd be scared to death to report it because Bill would never tell you anything in a production meeting ever again.
But look at this. Like, what's the harm in it? Like, I personally don't think there's any harm in it. It gives us something to talk about, and maybe eventually we'll see Drake May sooner than anticipated. Well, I don't think this is like, oh, now the Seahawks have a leg up, or anybody around the league has a leg up. Because if anything, this is, I don't know, there's very few situations like this. Like, Drake May is the highest drafted non-starter for this season, right? Like, all the other guys who are drafted in the first round who are healthy are starting, except for Michael Penix. And Michael Penix is got a more established guy who they just gave a lot of money to.
That's the big difference, too.
That's the big one, too.
A better quarterback and the money, yeah.
So I wonder, though, if because this came out here, if you're in Atlanta Aren't you going to start sniffing around there? Be like, how many reps is Penix getting?
You should.
We just heard Mays getting 30%. How many is he getting?
Get in that production meeting and figure it out. Not you, Brady, because you're not allowed in them. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Brady, maybe he'll be making a return to the field with Tua concussed yet again. Scary situation last night on Thursday Night Football. What does it mean for the Dolphins? What does it mean for quarterbacks like Brady? And what does it mean for the Patriots in what feels like a more wide-open AFC East? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, it's been a while since we did this, Keith. We started here, and we want your thoughts on it all day long. Patriots and Seahawks, thoughts, predictions, picks. Give us what you got on the game this Sunday. Who do you got, Keith, and how does it play out?
I got them in a similar script to last week. I think the Seattle Seahawks offense is nothing to write home about. Cincinnati didn't play well, but a lot of it had to do with the Patriots defense playing really well. And if Kenneth Walker can't go, he hasn't practiced the last couple of days. He had 100 yards rushing and a touchdown in their win over Denver. I think the Patriots defense is going to have another great game. I think the offense can kind of play it out similarly where they don't turn it over. Ramondre Stevenson runs exceptionally well. Of course, you'd love to see him throw it a little bit more, but they might not have to this week. It's a low total, Vegas, like 38, 38 and a half. I still would take the under. Like, I think both teams are going to struggle to score. Might be the first team to a touchdown. Certainly the first team to two touchdowns would win this game. So I think it kind of is going to be similar to last week. And if it is, then it's definitely a Patriots win. I'm taking the Patriots to win this one.
Do you think, as am I, do you think they're opening up the playbook anymore this week? Meaning throwing the football more?
It'd
be hard to throw less, I guess.
I mean, maybe they'll add them. To the, you know, we're talking about how, you know, Van Pelt had that comment about maybe they didn't have as many plays at his disposal that he wanted to. So they might have them. But if they're playing from in front or tied the whole time, then no, I don't expect many more passes.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to need to.
No, they're right.
You know, like I think the game script plays out similar to the Bengals game last week.
Yeah.
So if you need to, if you're down in the game and you need to throw more, I could see opening up the passing game a little bit more as much as you can with Jacoby Brissett and these weapons in the passing game. But I don't think they're going to need to because, as I said earlier, I take the under two. You know, I think the Patriots score 17. That was the number we settled in on earlier this week. Even if they score a little more, you have some wiggle room for the under. So I think 17 to 10. You said 17-9. Maybe the Seahawks don't even get in the end zone, which I can see because I don't think they're going to have Kenneth Walker. We'll find out on the practice report later today. We'll definitely know by tomorrow with them traveling west to east. He might get ruled out tonight for all we know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to have Kenneth Walker, who's a good back,
mm-hmm.
and he was their best player, I think, in their week one game, at least on offense, their win over Denver. I think Gonzalez can slow, not erase, but slow down DK Metcalf, even if he's a little more productive than Ja'Marr Chase was last week. So those are two beliefs of mine. Maybe they won't play out that way, but it just gives you some logic into how I feel about the game. I don't think Walker's playing. I don't think Metcalf is going to do a ton because I trust Gonzalez. So now who's beating you?
Yeah.
Now who's scoring? How are they moving the ball? How are they getting in the end zone? How are they putting points on the board?
To me, it'd have to be like a one big Metcalf play where even if Gonzalez gets the better of him overall, if it's one big play, right? Like say, you know, he covers him on, you know, 15, 20 different snaps and Metcalf only has one, but it's a touchdown. Like then that would be the one scenario I would see because I don't think Geno Smith's going to carve him up. You know, we talked about their other receivers. We both like Tyler Lockett, but you know,
yeah, but if Tyler Lockett is the
contain.
Big threat on the
other
side.
No, he's a guy to contain.
No.
And then Smith and Jigba has been sort of a disappointment. So unless this is like his breakout game, like I don't think you have to worry about much other than DK Metcalf.
And I think you'll be more effective running on the Seahawks than Denver was. Denver was not good running at all last week.
But the key with Denver, as much as I love Bo
Nix, I don't like their backs.
They turned it over three times.
That's true, too. You're down in the game.
They gave them the ball. Like, yeah.
But also, let's say you're in a more neutral game script.
Yeah.
I don't like their backs. I don't like Javonte Williams. I don't like Jaleel McLaughlin.
No, Bo Nix was their leading rusher last week. Yeah.
So I like the Patriots running game more than Denver's. I think the Patriots will be better at running the football. And so I don't think they need to open it up in the passing game. I don't think they're going to throw much more or for much more volume than they did last week. I don't think Seattle's going to score. Long story short, I don't think it's sustainable, and this is one of the things we can ask Van Pelt about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's sustainable to run first, run always, like they did last week, and win games in the teens.
3 yards in a cloud of dust.
I don't think that's sustainable, but I think you can do it for another week. I think they will do it for another week. I think the Patriots win, and I think that's how they do it.
I also think Gibson has a decent game this week. I think you're going to see him catch a few more passes because I think they know that Stevenson is their best offensive player,
but he can't have 30 touches a game. Like, I think they need to ease that down a little bit. And maybe, you know, Gibson didn't have a lot of success running the ball, but they threw to, remember that one was it the last preseason game? I feel like they threw to him like three times on that drive. So I feel
I thought he looked real good in that game.
Yeah, I did too. So I think Gibson has a bigger game. You know, maybe the receivers don't, maybe it's a little more similar to what it was last week, but just to give Stevenson a little bit of a break, I think Antonio Gibson's going to have to be more involved.
Text 37937. Guys, how pathetic the Patriots have become that we have to hope for injuries on the other team. Hashtag we suck.
Oh, whatever. It's the state of affairs that they're in right now.
I mean, this is where we're at.
We're just pointing out the fact that one of their better players is likely to not play.
Yeah, and are you good enough to take advantage of an injury on the other side? They were for 20 years. Patriots got tons of breaks.
But look,
even when they were winning Super Bowls. So,
all the time. How many backup quarterbacks did they face when Tom Brady was here? But even last week, guess what? T. Higgins didn't play. That was a huge advantage of the Patriots, and they capitalized.
They took advantage of it.
Yeah.
Also, this 37937. Seattle has Metcalf and Lockett. You're downplaying the Seahawks. No, no.
Yeah.
I know Metcalf's there.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a moron.
Maybe.
I am a moron.
Definitely.
Maybe this is proof and evidence that I'm a moron. But Metcalf does not scare me this week the way Chase did going into last week, because I have a higher degree of confidence in Christian Gonzalez. 617-779-7937. Are we right? Are we wrong? All your thoughts and predictions on Patriots and Seahawks, the home opener with Malcolm Butler in the building.
That's right.
This weekend.
Keeper of the light.
We'll continue with our Patriots Friday here. We're going to break a little early because we have Alex Van Pelt joining us here momentarily. We're going to be joined by Dietrich Wise, Patriots captain as well. So some guests on the way next. Jones and Keith here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock. WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart. We have a jam-packed 1 o'clock hour for you.
Sure do. You better believe it.
Back by popular demand. This week in review, we'll get to as well as the grab bag. But joining us right now on a Patriots Friday, as promised, Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt here on WEEI. Alex, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Only 16 points last week for you guys, but you win. It's a dominant rushing performance. Is that how you want the offense to look?
Definitely. I definitely think we need to run the ball to win. That's just always our belief in this offense. And to go out and be able to do that and control the line of scrimmage for the most part of the game, I thought that was a good start to the season.
Now, there was a report that came out over the weekend that Drake Maye was getting 30% of the snaps at practice, and Jerod Mayo, the head coach, confirmed that today. I'm curious, from your perspective, what is the challenge like of getting Jacoby Brissett, the starter, ready to go each week, but also developing the rookie to come in at some point?
Yeah, it's definitely a fine line. You don't want to take reps away from your starter. I mean, every rep you have during the week is valuable. So finding the right reps to get Drake in there, to let him continue his growth. And at the same time, you know, when Jacoby's not in there, you know, assuming maybe a defensive period, we'll take Drake off to the side and kind of walk him through the script and let him go out and call the plays from practice as well. So there's a fine line of taking reps from the starter, but also being able to develop a young quarterback. And I think Drake Center really last couple of weeks has been really done a great job.
You've obviously been in the league a really long time as both a player and as a coach. Is this something in your experience that has happened often or even before in your experience?
No, I have not had a young quarterback. Usually the guys that have been around have been the veteran guys. So this is new. Again, but, you know, just the continued development at the same time, we're doing everything in our power throughout the course of the week to win that game on Sunday. So that's the most important, but at the same time, we still have to continue to develop Drake.
So we do want to get back to Sunday and your plans for the Seahawks, but just on the plan for Drake Maye, and Jerod confirmed earlier today 30% was about right, give or take. Did that increase at all this week, or is that the same as a week ago in terms of the reps he's getting in practice?
No, that's the same. That's exactly the same, and that'll be the same moving forward.
Why do you feel he needs that extra work? I know you're talking about the balance between developing him and still not taking away from Brissett, but why do you feel that he specifically needs that work with starters on top of just the show team, scout team reps?
No, I mean, because I think the future is bright for Drake, and we got to continue to develop and let him grow throughout the course of the year. Anytime you get a chance to get in with the starters, it's bonus reps for you as a young player. You know, but I think just watching Jacoby and his process and how he goes through the work week and, you know, what he does on each meeting and just being involved and seeing that process is only going to help him grow as a player, both mentally and physically when we get out on the field.
You you know, Ramondre Stevenson had a monster game against Cincinnati, 120 yards on the ground. He scored a touchdown, had close to 30 touches, though, in the game. And I'm just curious, as the season goes on, what's that balance like where you want to get one of your best players the ball a lot, but also knowing that, you know, close to 30 touches a game is probably not sustainable?
Yeah, no question. He actually was the workhorse and carried the load for us. We got to find ways to get, you know, AG in the game and take some of those reps off of him. But, you know, if you asked him, he'd want to stay in and take every rep. So it's finding that balance of trying to keep him fresh, one, throughout the course of the game, but ultimately throughout the course of the season.
Patriots offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt joining us here on Jones and Keefe. Patriots Friday on WEEI. You said yesterday that you'll have more options on the call sheet this weekend. Why do you feel the need to add, and why was it light, I guess, for lack of a better term, last week?
The way the game was going to go, I felt like that we didn't need certain things on the call sheet, and I think this week that we might need some. So I'm not going to get into more of that than the scheme, but you know, there were some times where I was searching for you know, maybe a certain type of play, and I didn't have it on the sheet. So just felt better adding some things in that that gave us some different looks.
Do you have, without getting into giving up game plans or anything like that, do you have full autonomy on that? Is that something you're working with Gerard on, or is that solely up to you?
Yeah, I think our staff, our offensive staff, we all work together. We're very collaborative in our game planning and how we come up with each plays each week. You know, we do it together as a group, but ultimately Gerard has, you know, he has ultimate say, and if he doesn't think that something fits in the plan, then he can tell me to take it out, and I'd gladly do it. He's the head coach.
Now, with your time in Cleveland, you guys faced Mike McDonald's Ravens defenses the last couple of years. What can you tell us about what he brings to Seattle?
Yeah, really good scheme. You know, their pressure package is really good. You got to be on top of it, especially on third down. You know, the schematically, I think it's one of the better defenses we faced in Cleveland. You know, the players they had in Baltimore were awesome. They're gonna get there in Seattle, but you know, just the way that scheme has played teams over the years, and I think Coach McDonald does an excellent job of, you know, mixing things in, showing you one thing and giving you another, and you know, it's a tough defense to decipher.
Both you and Gerard said this week, watching the film, that there were receivers open that you saw when you went back and watched it. What led to those misses offensively?
One, I think the ball slipped out of our hand on a third down to KJ. We had a shot there, and there were some times in the game where we called plays, especially in the high red zone, where we were, you know, maybe had a guy open. If the game would have been in balance and we had to make a play, we'd have probably pulled the trigger. But just being smart and understanding the point we were in that game and how our defense was playing, you know, maybe taking a couple of the checkdowns there that were available as well. But, you know, I thought Jacoby did a great job of playing within the game. You know, there's a lot of times where quarterbacks can get greedy when they don't need to be greedy, and I think that he made those right decisions and went the right place with the football.
Well, speaking of decisions with the quarterback, I mean, last night there's the horrific scene where you see Tua take a big hit and get knocked out of the game once again. Is that something you teach the quarterbacks or go over with the quarterbacks, like trying to find when to get the extra yard versus when to give yourself up and not take those huge hits?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, it's self-preservation out there from the quarterback position. So we talk about, you know, when do we slide? We never slide in traffic, try to go head first and find a soft place to land. You know, knowing when I have to try to get the first down, say I'm on a scramble and there's a guy standing at the first down marker, I might have to be a little more physical than I want to be. But for the most part, you know, those guys get hit enough throughout the course of the year, so we're trying to find ways to take those off of them when they get out of the pocket.
You're new here to New England, obviously, so we're all trying to get to know more about you, our audience trying to learn more about you. What I know you're game planning and getting ready for a game here on Sunday. How much are you able to watch a game like last night? How much are you able to sit back, watch the league on the national televised games, Thursday, Monday nights?
Yeah, Monday, the mornings come early around here, so I can generally make it to halftime. After that, I'm shot. So I always see the first half. I catch up with the second half in the morning. But, yeah, generally I love to watch football. You catch myself with a game on the TV and a game on my phone at the same time. So if it's early enough, I'll watch all the games I can. But those night games are tough to stay up all the way to the end.
When you have downtime, I know there's very limited downtime for a coach especially, but what do you do in downtime when you find it?
Downtime for me in the spring is probably golf is probably my number one thing I do nowadays. I used to be a big outdoorsman, grew up hunting and fishing as a kid. So that's tough now. I do a lot of fishing now in the spring, but golf is probably my passion right now. If I had 4 hours in the afternoon, I'd love to go out and hit the golf ball.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, it's hard to find that free time, especially, you know, the older we get, and especially in the NFL in season, I'm sure. Alex Van Pelt, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us here on a Patriots Friday, and good luck on Sunday.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much.
Alex Van Pelt joining us here with his insight on Patriots and Seahawks this weekend. Some insight there on Drake May and the development plan. He said, no, I've never done this before with a quarterback.
And I was kind of, I think he was talking mainly as a coach, but he was a player in the league for a long time. So he was in that quarterback room.
Yeah. He wasn't getting 30% of the snaps behind Jim Kelly.
I don't think so.
Behind Drew Bledsoe. No.
Maybe Flutie.
Maybe Doug Johnson.
Maybe, Rob Johnson, right?
I'm sorry, Rob Johnson. Not Doug Johnson. Rob Johnson.
Maybe one of those guys. No, but he was like, no, and this is sort of a new scenario for him. But he also did say that, you know, that 70-30 split, which Mayo confirmed, is the plan going forward. Like, that's what they're going to do for now. They're not going to add time to it. Although, I'm not ruling out them kind of throwing him in there, right? Like, if you do really well with those 30%, and then Brissett's getting essentially double the reps in practice, but then also when it comes to the game field, like, we're going to be able to take a look at that. And like, how if he's missing throws, or if the ball's slipping out of his hands or whatever else, like, that could speed up the Drake May process.
So that to me was an interesting answer from him. I was curious if he would share it. Maybe it's not his place to share, but I was curious if, okay, well, you gave Drake May 30% last week. Was there any more this week? He said it was the same, which does speak to, we have a plan. This is what we're doing. We're getting him ready. It also speaks to they won't say this, but my read is that speaks to a lack of conviction in Jacoby Brissett. Like, full on, we're committed to him all year. Not if you're giving 30% to Drake May. This is not the way it is. Just as a refresher, here's what Jerod Mayo said earlier today when he was asked about the 30% report from Evan Washburn, sideline reporter for CBS.
Do you envision sort of like a 70-30 type split in practices?
No, that's definitely accurate. You know, it's not a secret. We have a quarterback, you know, in the wings that needs to continue to develop. And normally, I would say, you know, normally it's the starter gets, let's say, 95% of the reps, and the backup doesn't. With this, it's a little bit different, and we had a conversation, you know, how do we, I guess the struggle is, how do you get your starting quarterback prepared for the game and also continue to develop the guy in the background, which is Drake. And so it is like a 70-30 split. You're right on the head, and we were very thoughtful, and when we talk about, you know, we have a development plan for Drake, that's part of it. And I try not to get too deep into, you know, what that plan actually looks like, but he still takes, you know, reps with the starters. He does a good job on the show team as well, and he's doing a good job, and you can see his confidence continuing to grow.
So the starters line to me was the new piece from Mayo today. I mean, number one, he confirmed the 30%.
Yeah.
But number two, starters. And maybe I should have inferred that. Maybe that should have been my guess. If he's getting 30% of the reps, you're not wasting time. It's not training camp. We are wasting time giving a bunch of reps to backups. Maybe I should have inferred that. But that line from Mayo where he goes, well, yeah, we're getting him not just show team reps, not just scout team reps, we're getting him reps with the starters. That to me feels a little different than even what we knew going into this.
Well, and plus, so, what Van Pelt was even saying to us about how he's like, yeah, like, you know, you don't want to take reps away from the starter.
No, but
so
we
I
are.
Think it's kind of like,
no, but we are.
Yeah, but we are.
Yeah.
And we kind of have to, and that's sort of the position. So it seems like it might very well be a compromise from everybody. Like, I don't know if anybody loves the plan, because I'm sure there are some that are like, Drake May should just start.
Players, you mean?
No, I mean like the Mayo, Wolf,
oh,
Van Pelt, Kraft.
I'm saying
like
the decision makers, if you will. Yeah.
Like, we talk about this all camp. Don't you think there are some that are like, he should just start?
Yeah.
Then there are others that are like, well, he should just sit.
Yeah.
And then there are others that are like, all right, well, he's not going to start, but he needs to practice more than most. Like, I don't know if that's anybody's singular plan. Like, let's give him 30% of the practice, but like, don't start him, but 30% of the reps. It feels like everybody be like, all right, I'll give you that. Like, no, you can't have all of what you want.
Yeah, it's a negotiation.
That's what it kind of feels like
to
me.
Yeah. You got to be, everybody loses.
But
everybody loses a little bit on their feeling on how much Drake May should be out
and
there.
And maybe it's still going to take more of Brissett losing it than May winning it. But if May is getting all these reps in practice, the door is open, in my mind, for him to win the job. Right? Like, if usually a backup doesn't win the job, he gets it by default. But now it's like, well, if he looks really good in that time that he's getting, then like, maybe you can't ignore it and you have to put him out there.
I'm telling you, I disagreed with you yesterday. We literally were talking about this yesterday. You laid out the scenario 3-2. They're 3-2. They're winning. Would they make the move? I said no. Yeah. No chance they would make the move. I feel differently after hearing Mayo today. I feel differently after hearing Alex Van Pelt, who just joined us here on a Patriots Friday on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe. We're joined now by Patriots captain and defensive lineman Dietrich Wise. He joins us here presented by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Dietrich, how are we doing this week?
Wonderful. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. We're curious, with Seattle coming to town for the home opener, Malcolm Butler is going to be in the building, keeper of the light, ringing the bell. What do you expect the atmosphere to be like for the home opener against the Seahawks?
I think it's going to be electrifying. Everybody excited after the first win. Fans are talking. The city's buzzing. Everybody's going to come out to see us do our thing. They have Malcolm Butler at the top of the White House, hyping the crowd up. So you know everybody's going to be primed, excited, cheering on their feet for at least an hour before everything else happens.
Yeah, for sure. What can you tell us about playing alongside Keon White? Because a lot was brought up about, Barmore, unfortunately, is out for the year. Matt Judon traded away. What's this Patriots defensive front with yourself? What's it going to look like? And week one, Keon White, 2.5 sacks and looked like an absolute monster.
Yeah, that's what he's been doing the last year. Ball was releasing before he was getting there. So as we're finally seeing it, as we said during training camp, he's definitely a great player, and I was looking forward to seeing what he was going to do. And this first game, he showed out and showed up. So definitely look for him to continue that throughout the whole season and tell the world who he is.
We've heard players say things like they would run through a brick wall for Jerod Mayo as one of the lines about him. What is it about Mayo that is getting you guys to buy in?
You know, he's a great leader, a motivator, knows how to get the best out of guys, pull guys to the side, talk to them, hype guys up when they make great plays. He knows how to build the camaraderie of the team, the morale of the team. And he's just the type of guy that a lot of people just, not so much that they make you feel, he makes you feel good, but he makes you feel like he's the guy that you want to go to war behind, you know. He's that Marcus Aurelius out there on the field, selling the dirt, leading the charge, you know. And I know he's not playing no more, but he's definitely on the sideline leading us.
Marcus Aurelius, are you in for Gladiator 2 coming up in a couple months?
You know, hey, that'll be something else.
Looks good. Looks real good. What can you tell us about the Seattle offense? You know, we were kind of breaking them down. Obviously, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they got big-name wide receivers. Geno Smith has really turned his career around, has looked good the last couple of years. But what do you see when you guys are watching them on film?
Yeah, you said it, man. So I saw them with the receivers. They're doing a great job so far. Just great skill players. They know how to get open, catch the ball, do their thing. Fast, Walker, fast, great running back. I think he's underrepresented in this league as one of the good running backs. So I know he's going to come out there and try to prove himself. Geno, once again, is doing his thing. I know he bounced around, but he's been looking good the last 2 years. And he came out using his legs, throwing the ball. You can tell he's leading that offense the right way. So definitely have a challenge on our hands that we're looking to face.
Patriots Friday here on WEEI. We're joined by Patriots captain Dietrich Wise. I don't know if you were able to stay up for the Thursday night game last night. We just talked to Alex Van Pelt. He said those were tough for you guys, but I'm sure you've seen the highlights in the story by now. Any thoughts on Tua leaving that game? Is obviously a scary situation last night.
Yes, it is. Very scary situation. You never want that to happen to anybody, whether you know him or you don't know him, whether you're playing against him, whether you don't like him. Like, you never want those things to happen to him. I was definitely praying for his family, making sure him and his family is in good spirits and everything. And don't really know what his future holds, but I pray for his health alongside with that. So you just never want to see it. Definitely it happened during the Bengals game. He's had 4 so far. Those type of things that he started to kind of like wish the best for him. Like, hey man, you know, if you ever had a chance to talk to him, you want, you know, just tell him how you feel and let him know that football is only a short time of life, but your life is a lot longer. So I pray he definitely heals and
You know, Dietrich, we talk with Hunter Henry every Monday, and obviously you guys are teammates now. You were also teammates back at Arkansas. You're both seasoned vets now in the NFL, but I'm curious, what was a college-age Hunter Henry like as a teammate?
Ooh.
College Hunter, pretty much same as Hunter is now. I'm very excited, very motivated to go out there and play ball with his boys. Loves to have fun in the locker room. Loves to have fun with his family, with his friends. Family man. Lesser found on the field. So he's pretty much been the same person that he was in he was in college. Big hunt dog.
Big hunt dog.
Big hunt dog.
All right.
I mean, maybe
we'll roll that
out on Monday. Big hunt dog there. Dietrich, I'm curious. And Drob Mayo effectively confirmed this today. We just talked to Alex Van Pelt. Drake May getting quite a few reps in practice against the top defense with the starters. What have those reps been like, seeing him more than a traditional backup, and what is it like facing off against him in some of these practices?
You know, it's always good to see the growth of any player that you go against. Drake has definitely shown growth in that field, able to make good completions in practice, give us good looks week in and week out. So with him playing against the ones, is it going to make him better and also make us better as well?
All right, Dietrich Wise, Patriots captain, defensive lineman, Patriots home opener this Sunday against the Seahawks at Gillette. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right, now y'all are doing.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Dietrich Wise joining us here. The big hunt dog.
Big hunt dog.
Ruff, ruff, ruff.
That's right.
So we'll
couple
have
of hogs. We're talking to a couple of hogs, a couple of Razorbacks. A
couple of hogs.
Yep.
That's true.
Big hunt dog.
Well, between us now knowing his nickname and you having him in fantasy, I feel like
we're practically best buds.
I mean, I feel like he's just going to shoot us real straight on Monday now.
Yeah, maybe he comes in studio. Maybe bring him down here.
Big hunt dog.
Big hunt dog.
Come in studio there. Yeah. Big hunt dog.
I think so.
So there you go. I forgot Wise and Malcolm Butler. I was just looking this up. They did overlap. So when he's like, he's like, Butler's going to get the crowd going. Maybe he's got a little insight.
He knows.
Onto the keeper of the light. So there you go. It's Patriots Friday. Here on Jones and Keefe. Back-to-back interviews there, Van Pelt and Wise. We'll get back on schedule here. We have a lot in the final hour. We got your grab bag. We got your week in review. And we have the return of Keefe's Keys.
Mm-hmm.
Shake them up. Shake them up. That's next here on WEEI.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.